The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning is verse number 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. It says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Now, as Paul brings this letter to a conclusion, he desires the prayers of God's people for himself and for his fellow laborers in the gospel. Look at verse 1 and 2 of the chapter. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." He also expresses his confidence in the Thessalonian believers that they would continue in the Christian pathway. Look at verse 3 and 4 of the chapter. He says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you." And then in verse 5, our text for this morning, Paul here prays that the very hearts of these believers would be directed into God's love and into the very patience of Christ himself. He says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." As Paul says farewell to this church at Thessalonica, he wanted these Christians to be at their best for God. And he knew that that would only be the case if their hearts as believers were filled with God's love, and their hearts and lives as believers were molded and fashioned after the very patience of Christ. And may that same great truth applies to all God's people, wherever the believer in Christ is to be found. May if the believer is to be a bright and a shining light for a Savior, then his heart must be filled with the love of God. His life, his heart, and his soul must be shaped and fashioned with the very patience of Christ, his Redeemer. It's for that particular reason that I want us to look at this verse here before us this morning, which deals with God's direction for the heart of every one of his children. Notice first of all with me here this morning from this verse, the direction that God desires for the heart of all of his people. Look at how Paul speaks here in this verse. He says, "The Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And there you see how the heart of every believer is to be directed into the love of God. In other words, the heart of the believer must dwell much and think much upon the love of Christ to them as their Redeemer. Child of God, in the meeting this morning, this is to be the direction of your heart. This is to be the direction of my heart. It has been said that love is the oxygen of the kingdom of God. And my, there is no better theme for you and I to think about and to consider and to meditate upon as believers than the love of God. The psalmist could say, "How excellent is thy loving kindnesses, O Lord." Isaiah the prophet said, "I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord." Their hearts dwelt much upon God's love to them and his love to his church and to his people. Christian, this is how it should be with you and I also in life as we walk through this world as God's redeemed people. And why is it important that our hearts be taken up with the love of God? Why? Well, you see, God's love is central to the salvation of every one of God's people. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If it was not for God's love in Christ, none of us who are believers in this meeting this morning would be saved by the grace of God. The love of God is central to our salvation. Also, God's love to us, it's a love without measure. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, we're just told there that the love of Christ is a love that passeth knowledge. It is a notion that can never be fathomed or fully plumbed. The hymn writer says, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling like a mighty ocean in its fullness over me." Maybe you've been at the seaside this past days and you've looked out to the sea, to the distant horizon and the seas before you. And that is but a very small, a very meager illustration of the fullness and the greatness of the love of Christ toward you, believer, and toward all his people and his church. Also, we can say this morning that God's love toward his people, it's an eternal love. It's a love that has no end. It's like a circle, like the little children's course, has neither beginning or end. It's eternal. Turning your Bible back to Jeremiah chapter 31. And look there at verse number 3 as Jeremiah speaks of the Lord's love to him. And as it was here with Jeremiah, so it is with you and I who were saved by God's grace in this meeting. Look at verse 3 of Jeremiah chapter 31. And Jeremiah says, "The Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindnesses have I drawn thee." Notice it, child of God, you are loved by God. God has singled you out from the masses of humanity, and he loves you with an eternal love that will never end or die or decay. Also, we can say this morning, as we think further about God's love, that God's love to his people is a love that is constant. What does the Lord say? "I am the Lord. I change not." The love of others changes. We know that. Our own love for God changes. Our own love for others changes. But not the Lord. Child of God, the Lord's love toward you is unchanging. It will never change. No matter what else changes in your life, no matter what changes in circumstances around your life, the love of God toward you in Christ will never change. Also, we can say this morning that God's love to his people is inseparable. Think of those tremendous words of the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 8, verse 39. He says, "There nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in that same chapter, Paul tells us how not even death itself, that last great enemy, can sever the child of God or separate the believer from the love of God in Christ. Child of God, God's love toward you is inseparable. There's nothing in life that can separate you as a child of God from the love of God. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, this wonderful love of God, this is to be the meditation of our hearts. This is to be the theme of our minds, the theme of our souls. This is what Paul was getting at when he said to these believers in Thessalonica, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." But as well as thinking upon the love of God, our text there tells us how the believer's heart as well is to be directed into the very patience of Christ. Look at how Paul goes on at the end of our text. He says, "And the Lord direct your heart into the patient waiting for Christ." If you happen to have a Bible with a central margin, which gives you the original meaning of the words, you'll see there that the original meaning of those words at the end of verse 5 literally mean, "Lord, direct your hearts into the patience of Christ himself." That's the real meaning there. Believer, this means that you and I are never to lose sight of the patience that Christ has displayed in making a way of redemption for us and all his people by his death upon the cross. How patient Christ was in all of this. Isaiah 53 verse 7, you read there something of the patience of Christ upon the cross. It says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth." And as you view Christ in his trial, in his shame, in his agony, and we'll be thinking of that as we come to the Lord's table later on this morning, you will see there the patience of Christ time after time after time, and making a way of redemption for you and I and all God's people. how patient Christ was in his redeeming work upon the cross. And then as well as that, dear people of God, we must often recall how patient the Lord has been and dealt with you and I as individuals in drawing us to himself for salvation. Think of it, child of God, how patient the Lord was with you in your unconverted state and your unsaved condition. Each one of us as believers must say with David in Psalm 103, he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word long-suffering means patience. Child of God, look back over your life. Think of your unsaved days when you had no thought of God, no concern for Christ and the gospel and the things of God. Each one of us were the exact same. Yet God did not cut you off in your sin. God was merciful. God was long-suffering. God was patient. He brought you to himself in faith and in repentance. And that's something we should never lose sight of as the people of God. How patient Christ was in going to the cross for us. How patient the Lord was in dealing with you and I in our unsaved days, in our unsaved condition. Yes, we see the direction here that God desires for the hearts of every one of his people. But secondly, look again at our text this morning. Notice in the second place the accomplishment of this right direction for every believer's heart. How is it accomplished? We'll look again at what Paul says in our text. Notice how he begins the verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Notice those words are, "The Lord direct your heart." You see, the Apostle Paul, he knew that only the Lord could touch the hearts of these believers in the church at Thessalonica. Hence here in this verse, he earnestly prays. He's in prayer here. And he earnestly prays that God, by his Holy Spirit, would direct the hearts of these believers into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Brethren and sisters in Christ, it's the same with ourselves. It is only God, the Holy Spirit, that can direct your heart and my heart constantly into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Therefore, in praying for ourselves and praying for our fellow believers, we need to pray earnestly that God the Holy Spirit would direct our hearts into God's love and into the patience of Christ. This is something, believer, that you and I should be praying for daily in our lives. And as we pray daily for our fellow believers in the Lord, that God by his Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and direct our hearts into God's love, into the patience of Christ. What does it say over in the book of Proverbs? It says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water he turneth it, whithersoever he will. Only God can touch hearts and change hearts and mindsets. God alone has power to change the direction of your heart. God alone has power to change the direction of my heart. Hence, this is something we need to pray about. You think of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, "How the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness and faith." Notice the mention there of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, but also mention is made there of long-suffering. And again, that's but another name, another title for patience. Brethren and sisters in Christ, if you and I are to enter into a greater awareness of God's love for us, and we should not be stagnant in our desires for God. If you and I are to enter into a greater awareness of God's love for us, a greater awareness of Christ's patience toward us as his people, then it will only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives and souls day by day as the people of God. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 5, verse 5? He says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. You read Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Read in particular 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a whole chapter devoted to love and charity amongst God's people in the living of their life and their testimony for God. But how is that to be worked out in the life of the believer? How is that to be lived out in the life of the church? Not by the energy of the flesh. Not by a grim and barren determination, no. But only by and through the power of God the Holy Spirit working in the lives of God's people, in the lives of His church. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Paul says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Believer, that is something you should pray for every day in your life. As you live for God in your home, as you live for God in your workplace, and as you rub shoulders with the world in this community, you pray each morning that God would fill your heart, fill your life, fill your soul by His Holy Spirit with the love of God, with the love of Christ. That's something to pray for every time you come to the prayer meeting, to pray for your fellow believers in God's work, God's church, be it at home here or further afield. Turn with me in your Bible, please, back to John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. Look with me, please, at verses 13 and 14. And here, Christ is speaking about the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people. Look at what He says in verse number 13, verse number 14. He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show thee things to come. And notice His whole ministry is about uplifting Christ, revealing Christ to His people. Look at verse 14. It says of the Holy Spirit, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, notice it, and shall show it unto you. How can we learn more about Christ? We often sing that hymn, more about Jesus would I know. I think it's verse 3 of that hymn says, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. How are you and I to learn more of God's love, more of the love of Christ? How are we to show forth more of the patience of Christ in our hearts and lives day by day as the people of God? Only by and in and through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Oh, people of God, let me say to you this morning, it's the Lord's will that your heart and that my heart be taken up with the love of God in Christ. It is God's will that your heart and my heart be taken up with the patience of Christ. Therefore, as we begin each new day with prayer, and every time we come to the prayer meeting, let us earnestly pray in faith that God the Holy Spirit would direct our hearts into the love of God, into the patience of Christ. This is in the Word of God. So when you pray these words in this text this morning, believer, you're praying in the will of God. The Bible speaks of the end times, and one of the marks of the end times is this, and it affects God's people. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. Child of God, you and I are not immune from that coldness of these end times, that hardness. If we are not to be taken up with that coldness, that hardness, that indifference of the end times, this end age in which we're living in, then we need to pray that God would keep our hearts in the love of God and the patient waiting of Christ. You read the little book of Jude. It's often been called the epistle of the end times. And one of the things that Jude commands God's people at the end of that little epistle is this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, we see here the will of God for our lives, the accomplishment of this right direction for our hearts and lives. But notice one final thought here just from our text this morning. Notice the outcome of this right direction in every believer's heart. What is the outworking of this? Well, in the case here of these Thessalonian believers there would be obedience in the matter of separation from sin and from evildoers. Look at what Paul goes on to say in the very next verse, and it's all in connection with the outworking of this text in their lives. In verse 6 he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Notice something else that would be seen in their lives. It would be steadfastness in God's work. Look at verse 13. He says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." And then they themselves would know blessing from the Lord upon their life and upon their work for God. For look at what he goes on and says in verse 16 of the chapter. He says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all." And now he was speaking there how the Lord would bless them abundantly. When they as individuals and they as a church, as a body of believers, when their hearts would be directed into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Christ. And believer, when you and I have hearts that are directed into God's love and into the patience of Christ, then we also will be blessed and encouraged. Believer, you'll be blessed, you'll be encouraged in the ways of God. I will be encouraged to fellowship more with the Lord in prayer and the reading of the Scriptures. My, when we love someone, we want to be in their company. My, when we have a great awareness of God's love, we'll want to be in the place of prayer. We'll want to spend time with the Lord around His Word and around His truth. This is how it was with David the psalmist. He could say, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And the Bible says David was a man whose heart was after God. Read the Psalms. Read the accounts of his life. You'll see he loved the place of prayer. He loved the Word of God to be spent and to spend time with God and His Word. And the same with you and I, when our hearts are directed into God's love, into the patience of Christ, we'll want to be in the place of prayer. We'll want to spend time daily around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Also, we'll be encouraged to serve the Lord more. You think of Isaiah. Isaiah was a man who loved the Lord. And when the need arose to serve the Lord, what was Isaiah's response to the Lord? He says, "Here am I. Send me." He didn't hold back from the need in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. It was C.T. Studd who said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice is too great for me to make for Him." And he was willing to sacrifice earthly fame and pleasure for the work of God and for the cause of Christ because of his great love for Christ. Also, as believers, we'll be encouraged to live a holy life. Why, when we love someone, we want to please that person. And as believers, we please the Lord by living a holy life, a life that is separated from the sins of this world. The Lord says, "Be holy in all manner of conversation." Also, we'll be encouraged to be patient in God's work, patient in prayer, patient in tribulation, patient in suffering. Turn in your Bible back to Hebrews chapter number 12, or over to Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me, please, there at verses 1 and 2, and how Paul here speaks to the believer about being patient in their life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and he's just spoken of many who have sealed their testimony even unto death in the previous chapter. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." How we are to be patient in suffering, patient in sorrow, patient in service, patient in prayer. And my, we'll be that patient believer in those circumstances. When our hearts are taken up with the love of God, when our hearts are directed into the very patience of Christ. Not only that, we'll be encouraged as God's people to wait patiently for the return of Christ when he comes back again in power and in great glory. The Bible says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in this world, no matter how ungodly this world becomes, and it will become increasingly ungodly, the Bible says at the end of this age, evil men will wax worse and worse. But despite all that will happen in this world in this end time age, Christ is coming back again. And he's coming back in power and in great glory. He's going to put down all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. He's going to take the saved to be with himself in heaven and glory forevermore. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Child of God, no matter how ungodly our world becomes, patiently wait for the coming of Christ. For the coming of the Lord, the Bible says, draweth nigh. Unsee a friend, if you are to know the love of God, the patience of Christ filling your heart, changing your life, you must start with salvation. You must be saved. This means you acknowledging your need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before God. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You must acknowledge your need personally as a sinner before God. And with that acknowledgement, you must trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone for the washing away, the cleansing away of your sins. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And trusting Christ to save you, you must confess him before the world. Confess him with your mouth, with your tongue. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And with a life, and life lived in obedience to God, confess him before others. Live that harmless, blameless life before the world, that others may see your good work. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. And God will bless you. God will use you. The psalmist says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Come by faith to Christ today. Trust him today as your Savior. And then daily pray that the Lord would direct your heart into God's love and into the patient waiting of Jesus Christ. Let us pray.